Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I'm Scott Guthrie, a neonatologist and the previous infant medical director for TIPQC. Now, some of our episodes are for grown-ups in the room. Today, this one's for everyone, especially if you've ever needed proof that miracles still happen. 13 years ago, I got an emergency midnight call. A 24-week baby, 453 grams, less than a pound, had been born and was fighting for her life. It was serious. And once I got into the room and got the tiny tube into the tiny baby's lungs, we had to give two doses of epinephrine before the heart rate increased like it was supposed to. That baby spent 129 days in the neonatal intensive care unit. Heart surgery, brain bleed, tracheostomy, eye treatments, the works. Today, she's 13 and recently came back to the NICU to visit me. She's also a published author, karate kicking, dance moving, good student, an all-around amazing young woman. And she's sitting right here with her incredible mom. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is thrilled to welcome Charity and Leah. Leah, give us a quick hi, and Charity, you too.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, I'm going to tell everyone how this started. Charity, you weren't even supposed to be Leah's mom that night. You were her aunt. But when the chips were down, you said, try anyway. And you became her everything. Leah, you were born so small, we could hold you in one hand. Now you're taller than some of the nurses who cared for you. You also wrote a book, Leah's Land, Welcome to My World, which is available on Amazon if anybody wants to look that up. You've done karate, dance, piano, violin, and you just walked into the NICU a few weeks ago and handed me a copy of your book like it was no big deal. Since then, I've told your story 100 times, but today you get to tell it. Charity and Leah, welcome. I'm so glad you are both here. So Charity, I want you to take us back to that delivery room. You were Leah's aunt and suddenly thrust into the biggest decision of your life. What was going through your head when you said, try anyway?
That was definitely a huge decision. I think one of the first things that I thought about when you and I were talking was, who am I to stop the opportunity at life? But at the same time, I didn't want to be selfish. I understood that the chances were very high that she would be a vegetative state. I understood that it was a high percentage that she wouldn't walk. I understood that it was a large chance that she would never talk. And so I think in that moment, I just began to ask myself, who was I to not take the chance? Because there was about a 7% chance that she could walk or talk or ever live a normal life. And I draw from my faith. I'm a believer. And so though I didn't understand a lot of things, I did understand that with God, anything is possible. And I think oftentimes we like to want miracles to happen in our lives, and we're excited to hear about other people experiencing miracles, but we're not always willing to go through the process of what that looks like practically. And so in that moment, I saw it as an opportunity to give room for a miracle to happen. And so I just wanted to see what would happen if we tried again and we took it one day, one moment, sometimes at a time.
Yeah. And I'm so unbelievably happy that you did, because I got to sit here and ask Leah the next question. And Leah, you know, I'm sure you don't remember anything at all that happened in the NICU, but I know you've heard the stories that your mom has told you. Tell us, what do you understand has happened?
I understand that I was too small. My lungs were not developed, I don't think, So I wasn't breathing on my own because my lungs were so small. And what my mom has told me was that you have to get me on like a machine to help me breathe. So once you got that machine to help, then I was able to live.
Yeah. And I know when you came to visit me, we looked at some pictures together of you, how small you were. I'm sure you've got some baby dolls that were bigger than you were back then, don't you?
I do.
Is it unbelievable to look at those pictures and think that that was me?
Sometimes yes, but sometimes no. It depends.
Yeah. It's a charity. I mean, there was 129 days in the NICU. So you heard all those alarms. We went through surgeries. There were setbacks. You know, what was that hardest night for you? And what kept you going through all of this?
Quickly, one of the hardest moments in the NICU was when Leia had to be airlifted from Jackson, Tennessee to Memphis. And just the fear of all the things that were happening and not understanding all the medical things. But the hardest moment, I would say, over the last 13 years is when she was 6 years old. And we had 7 major surgeries back to back. And during the process of us trying to help, she was in excruciating pain, and she looked at me and she asked why the pain wouldn't go away. And the doctors were saying that they didn't know why she wasn't getting better and they weren't sure what to do. And I remember the morning of the last operation, her heart rate began to drop. And within minutes of the surgery, her heart rate went down low into the 40s and it started dipping into the 30s. And the nurse was ready to resuscitate and they started doing the manual read. And in that moment, she was in such pain, and she looked at me and she asked, "Mom, am I going to die?" And I think seeing that the medical staff really weren't sure what they could do to intervene, and I wasn't necessarily sure of all the right things to say, I would say that that was the hardest night so far that we've ever had. And just seeing her in pain and seeing her heart rate drop and just seeing really just her decline quickly. But what got me out of bed, I would say, is life. The doctors weren't sure what else to do. The surgeon said he was doing everything that he could. But I decided that we had 2 options. I was either going to leave the hospital with my kid or I was going to leave the hospital with my kid. The idea of thinking about having a funeral for a 6-year-old was just not an option. And so what got me through that moment was the moment. Just in that moment, we were still alive. We were still here, and that there was some type of chance, even though we didn't know what it looked like. And that was enough for me to get out of bed. The fact that she was still holding on and she was still fighting was enough for me to keep holding on and keep fighting. And the times when she wasn't sure, me not knowing what the next steps were, I knew I had to at least fight for her so that she wouldn't give up.
You're unbelievably positive. And then your faith is just a real core to you and helping both of you through all these things that you've been through. And that I think is just so important, having a deep faith and just having a positive outlook that we can get through this. And I think for all the parents that are listening to this too, I mean, it's tough having a baby in the NICU. It's tough dealing with some of the ramifications afterwards, but you have to have that outlook that I've seen demonstrated in you. So Leia, you've had a trach, you've had heart surgery, you've had eye treatments and stuff like that, but you're still like out there doing karate chops and dance moves. What has been the thing that you have liked the best? And tell me a little bit about how your mom keeps on pushing you to do all these amazing things.
I mean, I would probably say my favorite activity was karate because, like, with that, you can learn how to defend yourself. So that was, like, my favorite activity. And how my mom keeps on pushing me to do fun stuff is she just pushes me. I don't really know how to say it, but she just keeps on adding me on until I make up my mind.
Yeah. Why do you think she does that for? What do you think she pushes you for?
I have no idea.
Is it fun for her to push you?
Oh, yeah.
Good. That's what parents are supposed to do. They're supposed to push you a little bit and make you try new things and get new experiences. That's super important.
Can I chime in there?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to.
Yeah. So when I think about the different things Leia's done, she's going to be starting guitar lessons next week.
Wow.
And so that's going to be our first time at that. But I remember when she was playing the violin, I don't always share with Leia the why some things are challenging. But with extreme prematurity, one of the things that's a challenge is dexterity. So with playing the violin, she had a challenge with stringing it and doing all the things. But I encouraged her to keep at it because also with that same thing is executive function. And this past summer, she started cooking. And at first, she needed a lot of help. And sometimes she portioned too much salt and too much pepper. But with practice and with consistency, now she cooks really well. And so, yes, we're not going to continue with violin because she didn't like it. And we stayed at it for a while. But with everything, I just want to give her the chance. And then she starts to believe in herself after a while. She's like, oh, Mom, I can actually cook an entire meal from start to finish. And I'm like, I told you you could. So I think it's just been important to me to push her, though I know there may be challenges with practice and consistency and me encouraging her to believe in herself. She then gets things that someone else may have said she would never be able to do. So
I hope all the parents are listening to that, because I mean, I know exactly what you're doing, introducing her to these opportunities. And I love hearing you put that into words and explaining it to everybody, because that's so important to do this. You can do it. We're going to work with you until you accomplish it and master it. And you build those skills up, you improve that executive function, all those little things that we worry about with babies who leave the NICU. So, oh man, keep at it. So you, Charity, you really have. You've been her advocate, her nurse, her cheerleader. You've chauffeured her around to all these different appointments, surgery and therapy and doctors and things like that. And I loved when I was looking through her book that you gave me and I was reading that. There was a little section in her book where you talked about when she got her feeding tube and that you, in fact, named her feeding tube Hope. Tell us a little bit about that and why you would name a feeding tube Hope.
So I decided we need to call it something because it was going to be a huge part of our life. And so we decided on the word Hope because it reminded us every time of what we were clinging to. We clung to hope, which is the belief that a positive future is possible and is often accompanied by a sense of expectation and desired for an outcome to occur. And so it was a feeling and a mindset that motivated the action for us to continue to have resilience and believe that though we had a feeding tube and it was a high chance she would always be feeding tube fed, there was a hope that maybe one day she wouldn't. And I mean, I can think far as when she was itty bitty and us going to speech therapy, and then we started working on feeding and occupational therapy. And then even fast forward to when she was almost 10 and still having those feeding challenges. Every time I would pump medication or flush it out or do her feedings through the tube, we always called it hope. And it was just this little seed that we always planted within ourselves, because when doctors aren't around, and I remember the time her feeding tube got jammed in her belly and I was petrified. We were in the middle of a pandemic and I couldn't get the tube out. Me saying hope and her saying hope was just that little seed. And I think it compiled over time. And then before she was 10, we hoped that she would come off her feeding tube, and she did just that. So it just was something to also make it kind of fun for her and for me. And so that it just didn't feel as scary as it in fact really was, because I have a master's degree in accounting. I am a social work today in my profession. I did not study any of the medical stuff that I had to do at home. So just hope just made it feel fun and feel a little bit more lighthearted than it really was sometimes in reality.
Yeah. And again, it's that positive thinking. I mean, to go from the feeding tube for years like that to where you got it out, and now Leia's like cooking meals. And, what's your favorite thing to cook, Leia? I'm just curious if I need to invite myself over to your house and you can cook for me or something like that.
Chili.
Oh, I like some chili. Do you cook it really hot? It's really spicy? Not too much. Okay. I'll bring my hot sauce with me when I come, okay?
Okay.
So, Leia, going back to your book again, there was a picture of an elephant in your book. And I like the Crimson Tide, Roll Tide. So I love the elephants whenever I see an elephant. And so the elephant caught my attention. And you had titled the elephant, I think it was Strong Elephant, right? Tell us a little bit about that. What did that mean? What does that elephant mean to you?
So Strong Elephant actually meant that I was going to get through it. And like, I'm very strong and brave because elephants are not scared of anything.
That's true. What do people say when you tell them you have written a book already?
They'll probably say, when is the next book coming out?
So when is the next book coming out?
Pretty soon. I'm in the process of making the next one.
Really? Can you give us a little insight? What's the title going to be?
I think the title's going to be, I Made It Through.
Oh, that's good.
You going to send me a signed copy again?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm going to get that in writing, okay?
You'll be the first, actually.
Oh, good. Oh, awesome. I love it. All right, Charity. So, I love sitting here talking to you and hearing your story and just all the stuff that you've done with her. But you've had this experience of watching her grow in the first steps. I'm sure they were delayed before when most kids typically take their first steps, first words, going to that first dance recital. You're going to be hearing the guitar strings being plucked soon. And before too long, she's going to be the next Taylor Swift or whoever you want to be on stage somewhere. One, just what has that felt like watching that happen? And two, what was that real moment that just made you think, wow, my prayers have really been answered here?
It has felt amazing. I think, again, with thinking of my faith, when you read about stories in the Bible and you hear a person that had an illness that they were facing and then they're healed, it's one thing when you read about something, but then when you experience it firsthand, it just makes, I don't know, it just makes it so exciting and life worthwhile. It's been really amazing. I can remember even working with PT, and of course we knew the record said she probably wouldn't walk, but I remember telling the physical therapist, hey, you know, I'm going to go and buy her some walking shoes. And when you come over for this 45-minute session, she's going to have her glasses on. She's going to have her clothes on. And she's going to be ready to try. And then to see her not just walk or run and do all the things, it's been really amazing. Sometimes surreal, if I'm honest, because she used to be on 11 different medications and I manage those at home. And so even thinking about what it's taken for me to actually do this practically, and then fast forward to today, the only thing we take is allergy medication. It's just been very surreal. It's been very surreal. And then to answer your second part of the question, when did I know that my prayers had been answered? I would say seeing Leia on stage when she was in the Nutcracker. And from an occupational therapist and from a physical therapist and from a neurologist and from all the doctors and specialists, they would understand how special it is for a kid with our history to actually not go into flight or fight and run, to remember when it's her time on stage, to have body awareness and not bump those around her, to have a visual perception that's needed to be around all the, you know, lights, camera, action. But in addition to that, during that season, Leia had severe throat pain. So she was trached. And so that meant a smaller airway. And I remember her being in excruciating pain for about 3.5 months. And we had to make it a game because it just didn't go away. And Tylenol didn't help. Ibuprofen didn't help. We went to GI and ENT. Those were the two main people. And they had to do all these different tests to figure out what was causing throat pain. It was happening at home when we were warm. It was happening in the cold when we were outside. It would happen if I wrapped her up tight, if I didn't wrap her up. But even in the midst of all of that, in the midst of the pain that she endured, she still got on the stage and performed. And I remember sitting there and I was thinking, at this point, there's nothing this kid can't overcome, because she didn't crumble and give up. And she never would, even the day she would say things like, Mom, I think you picked the wrong kid. I'm a sick kid. And I would push back and say, first, you're not a sick kid. You're a kid that gets sick and every kid gets sick. And I didn't pick the wrong kid. So let's not have that perspective. And then over time, seeing her start to model that, like, yeah, mom, I don't feel the best today, but I think I can do it. And then when she was on the stage and knowing she didn't have anything to take this pain away, but yet she still remembered all her cues. I just, in that moment, I realized that we were going to be okay and that our prayers were definitely being answered.
Wow. What were you in the Nutcracker, Leah?
Let's see. I was a mouse.
That's cute. That's awesome.
I'm biased, but she was the cutest little
mouse. The best mouse. That's cute. Oh, I love it. I love it. Leah, now I know you don't remember me at all, do you? You just sort of heard stories and stuff. And then you came up to visit me. I'm just curious, what was it like sort of realizing that, like, one, meet this strange man coming to give you a hug and being so happy to see you? But then two, just sort of like, hey, this guy was there at the very beginning. I mean, did you have any?
I think I was more so like, okay, I don't know what to expect, but I'm excited, nervous, all the emotions.
Well, I really appreciate you coming up and visiting me. That just you really won't know what that means, because we're those doctors that every now and then somebody will sort of remember and come back to visit. But sometimes when people leave, we never see them again. So we always wonder, like, what happened? And it has been so amazing getting to connect with you. So Charity, just thinking about your journey and what all you've gone through, what's the one thing you wish you would have known when you were back in the NICU? Maybe something that you would want to share with a mother today who's got a small baby in the neonatal intensive care unit, just wondering what's going to happen next, or somebody who's left the NICU and maybe they've got their two-year-old that has a trach and a feeding tube and is just looking for some type of hope and inspiration.
I think one thing I wish I would have known, that I was going to be okay. I think for a long time, I knew Leah was in my mind. I was convinced, like, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. I'm grateful for what the doctors say, and I'm listening to them and I'm learning so much, but she's going to be okay. And I think because I didn't want to have a funeral, right? I was like, I don't care what anyone said. Like, you can say I'm crazy if you want. My baby's going to be okay. But there were a lot of moments that I didn't know if I was going to be okay. Of course, you psych yourself out and you get through the moment, but there were times in the hospital where you're not taking baths, you know, you're not taking showers because you're just over your kid and you don't think about yourself, and it can feel very isolating and like the world is going on without you and nobody gets it. Like, no one gets it. And a lot of people don't have a kid that makes it through all of that, that's still alive and doing well. And so I think the one thing I would have wanted to know is that, Charity, you're going to be okay too. That's what I would have wanted to be reminded. Because, you know, even when your kid is in the hospital, you know, say your child's in the hospital and has some surgeries coming up, oftentimes people check in and say, how's it going? And sometimes you have friends that see you and hear you and they ask about you. But because your kid is so sick, I'm fine. Then there are times you're not fine and then you're afraid and you don't really know what the next things are going to be. So I think the one thing I would have wanted to know is that, Charity, you're going to be okay too.
All right, Leah, your turn. So to the little babies who are in the NICU somewhere right now, what would you say to those little babies, or maybe to their moms too and dads?
I would probably say, I'm not really sure what I would say to the mom, but the kids, I would probably say, stay encouraged and stay courageous.
I love it. And then go do karate and go do dance and become a cute little mouse and play the guitar.
All those things.
Because that's going to help you one day. Immensely. So, this is my favorite question I like to end with, and I ask this every time. If you could put something on a billboard going Jackson to Nashville or Jackson to Memphis, wherever you want to put it, where thousands and thousands of people would see it every day as they're driving down I-40, what would you say on that billboard?
I would probably say, Jesus is not dead. He is alive.
I love it. I love it. Very true. All right. Charity, Leah, man, I so appreciate you taking time out to spend with us today. And I just want to thank you, you know, just for your courage, for your joy. And as you've told your story and sort of the difficulties that you've gone through, for showing everybody, you know, what a fighting chance really looks like and what really means to every parent listening. And maybe you're sitting in a NICU as you're listening to this. I want you to know this is what's possible. This is one of many countless stories I have experienced over my career. But this is also one of my favorites. I love this. Leah's book, Leah's Land, is on Amazon. Apparently, she's got another one she's getting ready to write. So you have to pick that one up, too. And maybe a third one in the future. Maybe we've got a budding author on our hands. We'll link to that in the show notes, as well as some other things that you may want to take a look at as well, related to this wonderful family and all they're involved in. So until next time, this is Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee. Keep fighting, keep dancing, and most important, keep writing your story, whatever that is.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.